Book of Psalms this morning will be in Psalms chapter number 89, and we are continuing, as I mentioned earlier in our series on mercy this morning, and I know that I am thankful for God's mercy, and I trust that you are as well, and a simple definition is just not getting what we deserve, and thankful for the Lord and His mercy through salvation, but then mercy through the Word of God and His participation in our life on a daily basis. Psalms chapter number 89, we're going to look at a different angle, if you will, aspect of mercy and how we respond to it this morning. And I want us to see in Psalms 89, we'll read one verse of Scripture, and I'm probably going to have you turn to another passage in just a few moments before our text this morning. Look at Psalms chapter 89 and verse number 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. This is a verse we're probably familiar with because many of us are familiar with the little scripture song that goes with this verse, and I am not going to sing it for you now, but let's read that verse together again. I want you to read with me this time, and I'll get started, and you read it with me. Ready? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. This morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, when the mercy of God becomes your song. When the mercy of God becomes your song. Father, we come to you today, grateful once again for your mercy. Where would we be without your mercy? I know we all deserve, but thank God for your mercy in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the mercy you bestowed upon us, not just as a nation, but as a church, families, individuals. And Father, may we rejoice in your mercy. May we get help today from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are some things that take place in your life that it's just hard for you to keep quiet about. It's hard to keep them a secret. There are experiences that are so powerful, and we call them and sometimes even life-altering, life-changing experiences. One thing that I have encountered over and over again in my counseling, especially with grief and different situations, if we call things a life-altering circumstance and then we pretend like life hasn't been altered, it just doesn't make sense. There are some things that have happened that we just can't keep quiet about. Likewise, there are good things, there are positive things, there are things that God does in our life that changes us, and it changes everything about us. It changes our manner of living. It changes our conversation. Burdens that you carry, it changes the way that you even talk. Victories that you've had, and we've all can say, thank God for the victories that He has brought about in our life. That brings about a change in our relationship with Him. In other words, there are experiences that God uses to put a song or a melody in your heart. In Psalms chapter number 89, we find this chapter, if you will, credited to a man by the name of Ethan the Ezraite. And he says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. You may wonder who Ethan the Ezraite is, and he is mentioned just one other time in Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, where his wisdom is compared to Solomon's. If you know the story of Solomon, Solomon asked God, said, I'll give you anything. He said, I want to have wisdom. And God was letting everybody know and establish it in this passage of Scripture that Solomon's wisdom had surpassed, and to use as comparison, and I'm paraphrasing, God says that Solomon's, he was wiser than Ethan the Ezraite. And so he was the comparison to show that Solomon had wisdom even beyond. So this is a wise man, this is a man of wisdom, and he begins this psalm saying, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Now, before we focus in on what he says, I want us to notice what he does not say here. He's not talking about studying the mercies of the Lord, although we should study the mercies of the Lord, and that's one purpose of this series that we have been in. He did not say, I just believe in the mercies of the Lord, and I trust this morning that you believe in the mercies of the Lord. A lot of times, that is what where we end. He didn't even say in this context, I will remember the mercies of the Lord. Absolutely, we should remember the mercies of the Lord. But what he is saying is we should go beyond that. What he is illustrating is, yes, I believe in the mercies. I acknowledge the mercies. I remember the mercies. But I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to sing of the mercies of the Lord. See, it is at this point mercy had become personal in his life. Mercy had moved from the pages of doctrine into something he has experienced. Mercy has moved from his mind to his heart. And now mercy is coming out of his mouth. What he is saying here is, I've seen too much mercy in my life to stay quiet about it. And oh, if we could get to that place where mercy is not just something we can give a definition of, but it's something that has come to our heart. The fact that it's not just a doctrinal statement that we believe in, but we've experienced it to the point where we have to talk about it. It has changed where we cannot be private about it. There are some things, there are some spiritual experiences that may be very private to you. They're sacred to you. I have them. I believe you probably have them as well. Those are things that might be too sacred to even talk about on a regular basis. But with mercy of God, when he's changed the manner of our living, he's not just changed our destination. He is constantly bestowing his mercy on us. It should change our manner of living. By way of introduction this morning, I remind us that God's mercy has done so much for us that it needs to move from our mind to our heart. I think all of us would agree, yes, God's mercy has blessed me. Yes, I've experienced God's mercy. But is it just in your mind? Or is it settled in your heart to the point where it's like, it can't stay there? It's got to come out of my mouth. I've got to talk about the mercies of God. I've got to sing about the mercies of God. Turn over a few chapters to Psalms chapter number 40, if you would. Hold your place in Psalm 89, but go over to Psalms chapter number 40. I want you to see a couple of things in this chapter. This is a psalm of David, and we get to verse number 3. We talk verse number 1. Let's go look at verse number 1, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up, verse 2, also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. There is mercy illustrated. He's described himself in a pit. And you know why he was there? Because he couldn't get himself out. And sometimes we're in a pit that we can't get out of. And God pulled him out of that, and look what he said, verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. Why was that new song there? Because it was a result of the mercy that had been bestowed upon him. God did something great for him, and David sang about it. God delivered, David sang. God lifted him up, David sang. God established his goings, David complained. Oh no, that's what you and I do. Because we have forgotten that he pulled us up out of a pit. We want to keep an inventory with God of all the times we think he hasn't been fair, while neglecting and ignoring all of the mercy he's bestowed upon us. He's established our goings. We deserve to be in that pit. We deserve to pay for our own sins. But yet when David realized God established his goings, what did he do? He sang. Ethan the Ezraite, we see in Psalms 89, he says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Now, if we just look at that and pull that out as its own, and the little we know about this man, we might would say, well, this man seems like he's a wise person. Seems like he has no problems. But what he is saying, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord on good days, on bad days, when I'm up, when I'm down, when I feel like it, when I don't feel like it, because God has been so good to me. Friend, do you realize this morning you are not burning in hell paying for your own sins? Anything above that is a blessing in the mercy of God. You did not deserve that mercy. That's the very definition of mercy, is something we did not deserve. And from the time of your salvation to this point until you're in eternity, God's mercy will be evident in your life. And he says, I've got to sing about the mercies of the Lord forever. Maybe one of our problems is not the fact that God stopped being merciful. Maybe we've stopped noticing mercy. We notice the burdens we carry. It's hard not to. We notice the problems we face. They're obvious. We can many times not just notice but diagnose what went wrong in a certain situation. It's easy to notice what you don't have. You notice who hurts you. We notice the questions we've asked God, and he hasn't sent us an answer. But how often do we stop and notice mercy? Friend, I would submit to you this morning, God has bestowed so much mercy on you and I, there's mercy we are not even aware of. There's mercy we don't even know about. There's things he does for you and I that we will never be aware of on this side of eternity. But I would also submit to you this morning that there's enough mercy that we do know about. There's enough mercy that we can notice. There's enough mercy that we can inventory this morning, and we can categorize it, and we can say, look at the mercy of God. That is enough mercy for us to notice. I wonder if your life would change. I wonder if your perspective would change. I wonder if the song in your heart would change if you decided to notice mercy, to look for it, to be aware of it. Because if we ever really saw how much mercy that God has put into our lives, surrounded us with, we might have more to sing than we realize. Oh, and before we get into the outline this morning, somebody's saying, well, I'm not a singer. Well, friend, I'm not a singer either. If you've heard me sing, you know I'm not a singer. I use this illustration every once in a while. Whenever we travel, go on vacation, and we're attending another church, and on the occasion that I'm not preaching while we're away, and I sit next to my wife or my children and hold that hymn book and sing, and they tell me not to sing. They fight over who has to sit next to me. And of course, the more they do it, the louder I sing. The old saying, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But can I tell you, I sound good to God. What do I mean by that? Because I can have a song in my heart. I can sing of his mercies. I can sing of his goodness. I can have that song in my heart, and it doesn't have to come out of my mouth. But you know, every once in a while it does. It does. Man, I have sung some amazing concerts in my vehicle as I drive around town. And I'm not singing with the radio. I'm not singing with some music played. It's a song that God has put into my heart. It's a song, well, that old hymn is just in my head today. That's not an accident. God put that there. See, mercy gives the saved a song worth singing and a story worth telling. Those old songs before you were saved, they're not worth singing. But you got one worth singing now. You have a story worth telling now. You know what everybody's story is? It's look what mercy's done for me. Look how mercy's changed me. Let me give you five statements this morning I want us to see. Number one, mercy gives me a personal song. I love how he says, I will sing. He doesn't get up and say, you should sing. He said, I will sing. Well, we need some of that personal accountability in our Christian life, don't we? Well, everybody else or this person, I will sing. If nobody else is singing of the mercies of the Lord, let me tell you, and let me go on record, I will sing. He didn't say they should sing. He didn't even say the choir should sing or the musicians should sing. He says, I will sing. Why? Because he had personally experienced mercy. Well, Pastor, you don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what's happened to the life in the life of the person around you. But I know this. I know we all have a God who has been merciful to us, and we have personally experienced that. You know, you understand some of there are some songs nobody can sing for you. There are some praises. Well, as a matter of fact, praise you can't have somebody else offer for you. On a practical note, nobody knows everything you've been through. Nobody knows every pit you've been in. Nobody knows every dark hour God's brought you through. So there's nobody that could praise Him for His mercy like you can personally. Nobody else knows all the prayers God answered for you. Nobody knows all your failures that He has forgiven. Nobody knows every burden that God walked alongside of you and got in that yoke with you and said, let me help you carry that burden. Nobody knows all the times that you don't even know how you kept it together. Truthfully, you didn't keep it together, but it was mercy holding those pieces of your life and your heart together. Nobody else can praise God for those personal experiences. That is why there's something personal about praise. We all know it because the Bible tells us, well, we should have times of prayer and times of praise. And it's like, oh, let me make a list of what to praise God about. Friend, that's just tapping into the recesses of their memory. There ought to be something in our heart that reminds us, and we ought to live in that mercy every day and say, I will sing of His mercy. In Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, if praise is in your mouth, it's going to be awful hard for complaining to be there. If praise is in your mouth, it's going to be awful hard for gossip to be there. If praise is in your mouth, it's going to be awful hard for accusation to be there. And we accuse God all the time. It's personal. David is a wonderful example of a man making worship for his God personal to him. Well, America, we got to get back to worshiping God. How about you? Are you worshiping Him as you should worship Him? Is praise on your lips? Is mercy in your song? See, when we realize and we live in this place every day that He saved me, He forgave me, He kept me, He restored me, He sustained me, He followed me, He carried me, then eventually you have to say, I will sing, because that is the result of that. Friend, as your pastor, I cannot sing your song of mercy, and you can't sing mine. But every one of us that have been redeemed, been saved, we have a song to sing. The question is whether or not you're singing it. Statement number two this morning, mercy gives me a continuing song. It doesn't just say, I will sing of the mercies today. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, how long? Forever. Not for a day, not for a good season. We all have had seasons in our life that we would be okay staying in that season, but we've all had seasons in our life that we're glad we're not in that season now. Or maybe you're in one of those seasons now and you're like, well, I appreciate those days. I could sing of the mercy of God. Friend, no matter what you're going through, you have a continuing song. See, when I'm not in a good place or I'm going through some things, why does that song continue? Because God's mercy continues. I'm just not in the mood to sing. Well, God's mercy is still a real thing. It's still a continuing thing. Well, I don't have anything good to think about. Well, the mercy of God's pretty good. Psalms 136 reminds us, because it repeats this 26 times, for His mercy endureth forever. If mercy ended, I would be with you. The song would end. But because mercy endures, there will always be another verse to that song. And we sing the hymns and we sing those songs, and some of them have short verses and some of them have long verses. I remember as a kid, it's like, how many verses does this hymn have? Well, let's sing the next, and let's sing the next, and let's sing the next. But truthfully, friend, that's the way mercy is. There's always another verse to sing. Think about your life right now. Think about your life. There was mercy in your childhood. There was mercy in your youth. There was mercy when you were foolish. Mercy when you were afraid. Mercy when you failed. Mercy when you grieved. Mercy when you struggled. There was mercy yesterday. There was mercy when the sun came up this morning. There'll be mercy tomorrow. Lamentations chapter 3 reminds us that there's new mercy every morning. So the song continues day after day, hour after hour. The verses themselves may change a little because the seasons change, but the theme is going to remain the same. What is that scene, that theme, that song of my life? It's one word. It's mercy. Maybe the verse you sang 10 years ago was about saving mercy. Aren't you thankful for the saving mercy? Well, let's just say maybe 5 years ago it was sustaining mercy. Maybe in the last year it was grieving mercy. Maybe right now it's strengthening mercy. See, the verses of the song change, but the song is still about mercy. And one day when we arrive in heaven, we will discover that death did not end that song. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, "And they sung a new song." See, when we get to eternity, we get to heaven, we're going to keep singing. Why is that? But don't miss this. It's because we're finally going to see the full picture of mercy. See, in your life down here, and some of you this morning, as I am preaching to you, and I'm saying there is mercy in your childhood, there is mercy in your youth, there is mercy in your valleys, your mind is going back to some of those situations. But even then, you don't see the full picture of mercy. You don't see the things behind the scenes that God maneuvered to get you to the place to receive that saving mercy. You don't realize how God moved things and how God gave you the strength and the Spirit of God sustained you in that dark times. But when we get to heaven, we sing the song of mercy now. There's a song in our heart, but we get to heaven, there's going to be a new song. What is it going to be? We're going to keep singing because we're going to see the full picture. See, down here, you only see it in pieces. When you get to heaven, you're going to see the entire picture. I believe when we look back on our life, we're going to be able to say, that was mercy. That was mercy. I thought that was God telling me no, but that was mercy. I thought that was God being unfair, but that was mercy. I thought God could have done it a different way, but that was mercy. I think that hard time was for this reason, but it was just God's mercy. No wonder the psalmist Ethan said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Statement number 3 this morning, we see from this one verse, mercy gives me a specific subject. When I was in school and growing up in school, as many of you experienced English, anybody like English out there? Not just the language, but like the subject. As many of you know, I had a legendary English teacher in my life, or should I say notorious. But even from a child, when you see a sentence, you look for the subject. You always find the subject. And friend, when we look at, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever," you say, the subject is I will sing. Oh, no. The subject of every verse in Scripture is about the Lord. See, everybody is singing about something. The world has its songs. Songs about heartbreak. Songs about money. Songs about pleasure, songs about anger, songs about self. Friend, I don't know why a Christian would sing the songs of the world. They are all about flesh. They are all about the sad things of life. They're all about pleasure. But Ethan had chosen a different subject, the mercies of the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of an English lesson this morning. You okay with that? Might wake a few of you up. I will sing of the mercy, singular, of the Lord. No, it's mercies, plural. Why do I point this out? Because one expression of mercy, as Ethan pins these words, can never express all of the mercy of God. It can never tell the whole story. That's why we say, in this part of the study, I think has been helpful to say, we know that God has mercy. As a redeemed individual, as a saved man, I know I've experienced God's mercy. But it's not just mercy one time. It's not just mercy in one dose. It's not just mercy in one application. There's saving mercy. Aren't you thankful for saving mercy? Friend, this morning, if you're on your way to hell because of your sins, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're depending on yourself, you're depending on religion, works, whatever, there is saving mercy that you can experience. I praise God for saving mercy, don't you? That mercy is a song we're singing. Saving mercy of God. You and I couldn't be saved without it. There's forgiving mercy. Aren't you glad God's merciful enough to forgive us? There's keeping mercy. I'm glad that I'm saved, aren't you? But I'm glad I'm just as saved today as I was when I got saved all those decades ago. Because there's keeping mercy. There's restoring mercy. Every one of us, at least in our hearts, have drifted from God. It's the mercy of God that restores us to His fellowship, restores us in our relationship with Him. There's protecting mercy. Oh, friend, I think we could stay here for a little while. God has protected us in His mercy. You say, oh, Pastor, I can think of time here He protected me, time here protected me, and that would be wonderful to hear those testimonies. That would be wonderful to hear those songs this morning. Friend, the greatest songs will be sung one day is about the protection that He provided for us that we have no knowledge of. There's providing mercy. How many times has God met your need? Well, Pastor, I don't have any financial needs. You know every need's not financial. How many times has He met your need? There's providing mercy. There's sustaining mercy. You know, life can be difficult. Life can be hard. Well, how do we make it? Well, God did it, absolutely. But He sustains us. You know what other kind of mercy there is? There's daily mercy. Everlasting mercy. Now, I took the time to walk us through some of those right there just to get us thinking. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you fit all that into one song? How do you fit all of that across your lifetime into just one song, one day? You can't. That's why the song continues. That's why there's a song in our heart. There are too many mercies to sing about in one lifetime. If we were to turn back to Psalm 40, verse 5, David says, and he's acknowledging being pulled out of that pit, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Then he says, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's a lot of mercy that God has shown. You and I could say amen to that. Have we considered this? You've experienced mercies you do not even know about, dangers you never saw, problems God prevented. Here's a good one for us. Doors God closed, people God removed. We lament when God removes people from our life and people from our fellowship. But sometimes that's an act of mercy, God doing that. Decisions God redirected. I think if we're honest, all of us could say we have made decisions in sincerity, but they were not the right decisions. They were with emotion. We thought we were following the Spirit of God, but in essence, we were following the deception of our own heart, and God redirected. That's mercy. I say mercy was... Mercy's even working this morning. You say, what do you mean? Well, my notes say mercy was working while you were sleeping. So for some of you, mercy's working even this morning. You ever zone out? And every married woman in here saying, I'm married to one of those that zone out every day. I know I zone out. We zone out. We become unaware of what's around us. I bring that up to say there are times when mercy was working when we weren't even aware. We were zoned out to what was around us. Mercy works behind the scenes. Let me give us the fourth statement this morning. Mercy puts a testimony in my mouth. We've seen this morning that verse again. Look at it with me. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. That's the first part of that verse. Let's look at the latter part. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. With my mouth. Mercy gives me something to say. You know, we say a lot of things that don't matter. They have no eternal bearing. Matter of fact, they don't benefit life at all. Truth of the matter is, it's true for most Christians, we'd be better off if we just kept our mouths shut. But what is the psalmist saying there? He's saying, with my mouth, I now have something to say. I am going to talk about, I'm going to use my mouth to talk about the faithfulness of God. I'm not going to sing the world songs about how hard life is. I'm going to use my mouth to talk about the faithfulness of God. I'm not going to use my mouth to complain about all the sacrifices I've had to make and I served God, ended up in this pit. I'm going to use my mouth to sing about His mercy in my life. See, we spend a lot of time talking about people, don't we? Truth of the matter is, we're more guilty of gossip than we like to acknowledge. We'll talk about people. We'll talk about problems. And I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens through this little section here, and that's okay. We like talking about politics. We even like talking about disappointments. In third grade, I deserve this, and I got this, and that disappointment is still haunting us today. We talk about everything that has gone wrong in our life. Anybody who will listen to us will tell them. That's why I've learned in all my years of experience as a pastor, when I see you, I just say, good to see you. I don't say, how are you doing? I say, Pastor, that seems kind of callous. You don't want to know how I'm doing? I don't want to relive every problem you've had in your life over the last 20 years, just to be honest. And you don't either. It doesn't mean I don't care. The point I'm making this morning, it's not that our problems aren't real. It's not that we've never been disappointed. It's not that there's no interest in these other things. But is that what's on our heart that we have to talk about? We talk about everything that's gone wrong. You know, it's like, well, good to see you today. It's like, you know what? Anybody ever tell you a thing? You're like, why in the world are you telling me this? I don't remember asking. Hey, did you know? I mean, think about this with me for a moment. What is inside of us is like, hey, there's a random person. Did you know? Or there's somebody I go to church with. Hey, have you heard? Why is it? We just have to talk, don't we? We just have to discuss. We just have to. Sometimes you see people coming and it's like, oh, Lord, help me. What is it going to be this time? And I'm not trying. If you have an issue, if you have a problem, I'm not trying to minimize that this morning. Please don't take it that way. But there's sometimes people get a reputation that every time they talk to you, there's something you don't want to hear. It's a complaint about this. It's a complaint about that. But think about this morning. When's the last time you have just said, oh, there's a random person? Or there's so-and-so. I hadn't talked to them at church this morning. And you just walked up to them and said, hey, did you hear? God's been merciful to me. God has blessed me. What are you thinking about? All these other things will occupy our mind. It will captivate our mind. But there's purpose here. He's making a declaration. It's not that he was obviously involved politically because Solomon is aware of him and Solomon's being compared to him in his wisdom. It's not that there's not things going on in his life. He purposes in his heart, says, I will sing. I wonder what it would do in the lives of people and in our churches if we determine, as Ethan determined, I will sing of the mercies of God. It doesn't mean I'd never have a problem. It just means I'm going to focus on the mercy that got me through the problem. It doesn't mean I no longer have a burden today, but I'm just going to focus on the mercy that's helping me carry this burden. It doesn't mean that I don't fail God anymore. I'm just going to focus on the mercy that forgives me in my failures. It doesn't mean I've never drifted away from Him, but I'm going to focus on the mercy instead of telling everybody all the problems I've ever faced. Let's concentrate on the mercy. Got me back to God. Restored me faithfully. I'm going to sing that song. We saw in a different week, Psalms 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I challenge us again, say so. Open your mouth, tell the story. There's people at your work, your job that you don't want talking to. When they come up to you and say, can I tell you how merciful God's been to me? They'll leave you alone. Or they'll say, tell me more. I want to hear that. I want to hear of that God. The blind man in John 9. You just want to mark that reference. I don't have time to even turn there this morning. He was healed by our Lord. And now the Pharisees are just peppering him with questions. And he said, famously, One thing I know. That whereas I was blind, now I see. In other words, I don't know all your theological questions. I don't know the answer to those. I don't know those things. You're asking me all of these things. I just know one thing. I couldn't see. Now I can see. And friend, that's a good way to live. I can't answer all the problems of life. I can't tell you all the reason why these things are happening. But I can tell you, His mercy has sustained me. That's a testimony. See, you may not be able to preach every doctrine. You may not have every answer of life. But if you've experienced mercy and you have something to say. Every child of God, you don't have to go through Bible college and seminary and write a doctrinal thesis on mercy to be able to understand, I was blind, now I see. You don't have to be an expert and have papers published on this subject to be able to say, I was lost and now I'm found. I was broken and now I'm mended. I was wandering and He brought me back. I was weary and He gave me strength. I was grieving and He comforted me. I failed and He gave me another opportunity. See, mercy puts a testimony in your mouth. Let me say quickly and finally, number five, mercy gives me a song for the next generation. I think we overlooked this part of this verse. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. But the verse does not stop there. It says, to all generations. Now this verse of Scripture, now this promise, this action, if you will, by this author it's becoming bigger than the man himself. He does not want the knowledge of this mercy to die with him. He wants another generation to know. And friend, can I say to all of us this morning, our children need to hear about the mercy of God. Our grandchildren need to hear about the mercy of God. Young Christians need to hear about, older Christians say, God has been faithful. And we can complain about the political nature of this country. We can complain about all the problems. And there's nothing wrong with pointing out, though they say, well, everything was different when I was a kid. Yeah, everything was different. But don't forget to add on to that, but hasn't God been merciful? Hasn't God been faithful? One thing I don't want us to know, I mean, we are an independent fundamental Baptist church, and we're that by conviction because that's what we believe the Bible teaches. But I don't want the next generation to associate the fact that, yes, we can point out all the elements of life, but we don't ever stop and say, but in spite of man's failure, in spite of our nation's drift, in spite of the actions of others, God is still merciful. God is still gracious. God has never changed. And that needs to be the song on our lips so the young people know that no matter what happens or what they face in life in the future, because if it's worse since you were a kid all those generations ago, it's not going to stop. God help us. We think about what they may face in the future. They don't need to remember us just saying, look how everything's changed and everything's worse now because it's going to be even worse for them. They need to have etched in their minds and their hearts, in spite of change, in spite of hardship, in spite of failures, God is merciful. God is faithful. We are good at telling the next generation everything that is what is wrong with the world. And friend, there's plenty wrong. We warn them about sin, and we should. We tell them about battles, and they need to know. But do we tell them enough about the mercy of God? Have we interjected in the midst of the battle? God is still faithful. And young people, hear me this morning, no matter what you face way out in that future that seems so far away from you, God will be faithful. Yes, I'm not an old man, although I feel it sometimes, but I've lived long enough to see the change. I've lived long enough to fight a lot of battles, and I'm certain there's more in the future. But hear me well, I don't want to just have a testimony of I've been through the war, I've been through the battle, I've seen the change. I want to be the one that also stands and sings, in spite of all of that, there's still a song in my mouth that I want you to know about. When I'm gone, I don't want you to just only memories of old Pastor Neil as the battles he fought, the stands he took. I want you to remember a song that was on his lips that reminded me that God is faithful. God is true. God is merciful. And if I face a doctor's report that I don't want to hear one day, I know God's merciful and faithful. If I enter into a season of battle, I want to know, I want to remember that God is faithful. God is merciful. Psalms 145:4 says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I think sometimes we think that's this generation declaring our mighty works to the next. There's a disease of that. It's not declaring our mighty works. It's His mighty works. What are His mighty works? It's mercy. See, our song of mercy, hear me well this morning, should outlive us. Long after our voice is silent, our testimony ought to still be speaking. Our children and our children's children should know what God did. Our church ought to remember what God did. I'm afraid there's a lot of churches that next generation is inheriting buildings. We should want that next generation to inherit more than buildings. More than programs. More than even our right traditions. They ought to inherit our testimony. The Lord has been merciful. The psalmist says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. What do we know about this man? We know he was wise. And we know he determined, I'm going to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. That is his testimony. And by the way, his great testimony is not his wisdom. He's written in Scripture and almost in passing as a comparison. But in Psalms 89, God gives him a platform, if you will, to say, tell the future generations who you are, Ethan. I'm going to preserve who you are. He's a man who said, I want you to know, I want the future generations to know, I've got one song to sing. It's of the mercies of the Lord. Have you lost your song today? If you've lost your song, it's not because God stopped being merciful to you. Maybe we're putting too much focus on the weight of the burden, the size of the obstacle. The struggle is real. But maybe we need to be reminded this morning and do some things on purpose so that we remember each and every day. Why don't we remember where He found us? He may have found you in, and I'll just use the term, the gutter this morning. Or He may have found you like He found me in a church Sunday school classroom as a child. But what is true, you can be lost sitting in a church classroom and you can be lost sitting on a bar stool. You say, well, how do you get saved? Mercy's the one that's got to find you in both places. Maybe you've forgotten where He found you. Maybe you've forgotten that He's forgiven you. Maybe this morning we just need to take this time to remember what God has brought you through. Remember the prayers He answered. Often we get indignant towards God because I needed this and He didn't give it to me. And first of all, you don't know how He's answered that prayer, but you know He answers them. Well, He hasn't answered it yet, and sometimes I say this, well, He might have. He might have said no. We get upset, and this is what I needed, and I got myself in this mess, and I needed Him to get me out of it. But we don't remember all the prayers that He did answer. And friend, we can just make a prayer in our heart in a fleeting moment. I would like for this, and God, would you do this? And we don't even register it, and God answers those prayers, and we have forgotten them. Maybe you're disgruntled this morning at church, at God, at the pastor, at everybody. It's because you have forgotten. The church hasn't changed in decades. You have forgotten that you were a little boy, a little girl in a Sunday school class, and somebody prayed over you, and God found you, and you were saved at a young age, and you were kept out of a life that could have destroyed you. You've forgotten that. You're mad at the pastor because you feel like he should have been there in this one moment, but you have forgotten the times that he prayed all night for you. You've forgotten the times that he was called as he sat down to have dinner with his family and had to get up and rush out to help you with your problem. You've forgotten. You've forgotten the times you called on God when it was just you and Him and nobody else knew what was in your heart. Nobody else knew what you were going through and you were in a pit. And you knew the end was coming, and you've forgotten. You've forgotten as God brought that loved one through, and it's just distant history now, and we got through that, but you've forgotten the mercy of God. Maybe today you need to remember. I think if you remember His mercy, the song might be sung again. Or the song may change. Let me ask you by way of invitation. What is your mercy song? God has been merciful to me because, and what is it? what would you say? If by way of ending this service, I came around to each individual and I asked that question, God has been merciful to me because, what would you say? Everybody can think of something, acknowledge something. Friend, what do you need to remember today? Maybe today's a day in the middle of the dog days of summer to just take a few moments on a Sunday morning. Take the time to remember His mercy. What's been coming out of your heart lately? What's been coming off of your lips lately? Is it the fact that your song has been stolen from discouragement? Maybe the motivation for somebody is like, well, my kids, and they're not doing what they should do, and my grandkids, and or maybe they're just young, or maybe that's not even on their radar. Maybe somebody needs to make a decision today that says, I want the next generation, when they think of me, to think of a song on my lips that was mercy. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Let me tell you how good God is. Let me tell you, if we're not careful, we'll talk about all the problems and all the difficulties and all the failures without acknowledging that we're still here because of the mercies of God. This man that we know very little about makes a decision. I will sing. There are characters preserved in Scripture for us that we look at, we have a hard time relating to, even though their humanity were humanity, because they had such a unique call on their life and a unique purpose in life. Think of the Apostle Paul. Unique calling. Think of Peter walking on the water. You can try it. You think of all the miracles, God used them uniquely. There's something refreshing when you come across some characters in Scripture that seem as ordinary as you and I. And Ethan certainly was not ordinary, but he did something that you and I, all of us, can do. I don't have a staff that I can hold over a sea and part the waters this morning. But I can determine I will sing. I can't do what some in Scripture have done. But I can determine I will sing. Well, Pastor, it's not my calling to preach a message. How about making up your mind? I will sing. Well, I'm not called to this and I'm not called to that. We don't find a call in Scripture to sing in the mercies of God. We find example after example after example of God's just too good for us not to praise Him. God has been too merciful for it not to just overwhelm us and it be the song that we sing, it be the story that we tell. And we want to want everybody who's around us to know, hey, I'm not perfect. And by the way, if you're humanity and you are, you're not perfect. You got more failures than you want to admit. You got more weaknesses than you want people to know about. I get all that. But you know what will flip that on his head? Hey, isn't God good in spite of our failures? Isn't God good in spite? I'm going to fail today. I'm not going to try to fail. I'm going to do my best not to. But when I do, God is going to be good and merciful to me. Let me tell you my testimony. Oh, brother, tell me your testimony. But when people ask that, they want to get all the story of it. They want to get the gossip of it. They want to get all your failures so they can look down on you or make themselves feel better. Let me help you with that this morning. If you've got some things in your past that you don't want people to know about, let me tell you how you tell that testimony. I was lost and now I'm found. I was in the far country and now I'm at the Father's table. Isn't God good? Isn't God faithful? Isn't God's mercy real? That's a story. If you grew up in church Sunday school, you can tell. That's a story. If you came from the far country, you can tell. That's a story. If God saved you right out of the gutter, you can tell. God has been faithful. There's too many of us keep our mouths shut because we have not been faithful. We shouldn't be telling our story. We can sing a song of faithfulness because He has been faithful. Why don't we come this morning and just decide that we're not going to stay silent? There might be somebody that works around us in our workplace that might open their heart and mind to the Lord if they didn't always give the Christians they knew complaining. Or maybe that song they heard out of their lips during the week, that didn't sound like a Christian. I will. Well, it doesn't come natural. That's the point. I will sing. If you trust Christ today, you can experience that saving mercy. Let's acknowledge this morning. Let's remember. Then let's determine, I will sing. I want the young people around here to know God's been faithful. God's been good. I thank God for faithful Christians. But there's faithful Christians only because we have a faithful God. You young people, I'll be glad that you don't have perfect parents, but you have faithful parents. But God's faithful. God is good. Let's sing that song this morning. Father, we pray that you would